Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless. Would you remain standing as we pray? Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that the church is still taking ground. We thank you for how many of those amazing individuals who got baptized, Lord, they're going to continue to follow you all the days of their life. I thank you for Heart for the House this season. Father, this isn't a season where we pull back, Father, but we take ground, Father. I pray that you'd stir our hearts today with your word. I pray for those watching online for the first time, those who've come across the Soul Church community, those who are in the room for the first time today, they would experience the Holy Spirit, the presence of God alive in our lives. Father, I pray we'd receive your word today with boldness and we'd act on it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can take your seats. Ecclesiastes 3, we're in this series for the next 3 weeks. Now is the time. Let's say it together. The chapter talks a lot about seasons and understanding the seasons that we're in. Last time, we went to the final verse of the chapter where it talks about there is a season to love, a season to hate, a season for peace, a season for war. And we try to understand that verse a little bit more. And this week, instead of going to the last verse, I'm going to start with the first verse. Okay. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And it says this: a time to be born and a time to die. I'm believing today that something is going to birth in our life and something might die. For many today, that will be new life, that you will discover Jesus like those people through the waters of baptism. Many people online and in the room will discover Jesus for the very first time. For others, fresh faith will be birthed in the room today. Now, under your seat, I want you just to stretch under your seat because there is a rubber band, okay? I want you to just get hold of that rubber band. Everyone should have one. Now, if you don't like my message, I've not given you that to... Yes, okay, we have security and you will be asked to leave the building. We are not back at high school. Do you remember you could do it and actually, like a gun, remember that? You could pull anyway. Let's not get into that. All right, it's begun already. That's my wife, you see? We're in the middle of a pandemic, okay? You need to behave. Now, I want this band, I want you to all just to hold that band in the air like this, okay? I want this band to remind you that until your faith is stretched, it has no purpose. Until an elastic band comes under pressure, comes under tension, it cannot fulfill the purposes that it was intended for. Now, a lot of Christians, including myself, okay, we can become very comfortable in this season. And our faith can become very limp. But I'm believing today that now is the time for something to be stretched in our life. God is wanting our faith to be stretched, some rubber band faith for us to go to new dimensions in Him. Now, here's what happens when you're stretched. You pull away from comfort. You pull away from comfort. Our world is in love right now with comfortable. Food delivered to your door. Online, predictable, laid back, easy, the path of least resistance. Furlough is our newfound friend. If it's a little bit tough, we don't want to know. And the problem is this, our faith is like this. And God wants us back in the stretch. One of the things I love about Heart for the House is this. It takes my faith and it does this again. It puts it back under tension. Our faith has to be tested before it can be trusted. Your faith needs to be trusted again. And our belief system is determined by our trust in God. God wants us in positions that we cannot lean on our own understanding. Who's in a situation right now where you need God? Good. That's good. Because if we weren't, we wouldn't need God. And so God wants you under tension. I want to talk just for a few minutes. The message is titled, Born for the Stretch. Born for the Stretch. Now, when I think of the stretch, there's many Bible characters that spring to mind, but probably none more so than Moses. If Moses is a new character to you, he spent his whole life being stretched. God commissioned Moses to lead the exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt. His job was to move them into a new country. We can read about in Exodus chapter 3. It says, Then the Lord said, I have seen how cruelly my people have been treated in Egypt. I have heard them cry out to be rescued from their slave drivers. I know all about their sufferings. You know, God knows all about the sufferings we're facing right now. And then it says in verse 10, it says, here we go. Now I am sending you to the king of Egypt so that you can lead my people out of the country. Let my people go, as the famous movie said. Moses' mission was clear. He was to stretch his faith and to lead 2 million people out of slavery. We think we've got it tough. Moses had to embrace 4 statements and believe them in order to succeed. These 4 statements are 4 statements that we need to embrace in this season. I want to give you 4 statements to embrace that Moses did. Number 1 is this. I want you to write these down. I want you to think about them this week. I want you to apply them to your situation, apply them to your family, to your business. I want you to apply these 4 statements, because as you do that, your faith will be stretched and your purpose will begin. Number 1 is this. I was born for the stretch. I was born for the stretch. Verse 10, God speaking to Moses says, I am sending you. Now, if you know anything about Moses, Moses had a speech defect. He was not the sharpest tool in the box. Some of you also didn't realize that Moses murdered someone. He murdered an Egyptian. So this is what it tells me. It tells me he was living in shame. He was living in the guilt of the past because of what he had done. But God saw past what he had done. He said, I'd still choose you. I was born for the stretch. Have you ever been asked to do something you feel like there must be someone else? And God said, no, Moses, I am sending you. You lead my people out of this country. Let me explain why Moses and God had this partnership. Because Pharaoh had ordered that every single Hebrew male person would be murdered. It was going to be the first Holocaust. Would be over 1 million children, young people, adults, and granddads. Imagine, we think we've got it tough right now. Imagine being in that system. 1 million people to be murdered, slaughtered. So Moses begins to lead these 2 million mums and dads, grandparents, children out of Egypt. And then they hit the first problem. It was called the sea, the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army was behind them. And the sea in front of them. Has anyone got a problem right now? You've got a problem behind you and a problem in front of you and a problem surrounding you. You're just surrounded by problems. I've got some good news for you today. You were born for them. You were born for the stretch. Exodus 14, 27, it says this. This is what happened. It says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at the daybreak, the sea went back into its place. He stretched out his hand over the sea. In that moment, he realized the reason he was born. It was his time. I tell you what, it made no sense to stretch out your hand over the sea, but it attracted the power of God. The Bible says that the Egyptians were fleeing towards him, but they were swept into the sea. Can you just imagine the picture of a sea? Imagine Cromer, this pathway to Holland. You're being chased, and suddenly God opens up the sea. I mean, this is miraculous stuff. And Moses leads the people of Israel through the sea, and then just as the Egyptians get there, he closes in the sea on them. Last year, I was going to say I had the privilege to run 7 marathons in 7 days. I was mad enough to run 7 marathons in 7 days. And I can honestly say it was the most stretching week of my life. By a long way, okay? On my final day, I don't know if I've ever shared this, on my final marathon, it was a Sunday morning, and I woke up and my legs would not bend. So they wouldn't even move. And Chantel, I don't know how she did it, she managed to get me to the stairs. The cameras can go down. So I sat there. Remember as a kid when you used to go down the stairs, bump, 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 because my legs wouldn't bend. And she was pushing me down the stairs. I said, isn't this fun? I'm going to run a marathon later. And I remember literally, I couldn't even get down the stairs, let alone the thought of running 26.2 miles from here back to the Heartsease 6 times, wherever it was. It wasn't until I stretched myself beyond the realms of madness, I realized that I was born for it. It wasn't until Moses was stretched to the point of, the Egyptians are behind me, the sea is in front of me, and if God, if you don't come in, I'm finished, that he tapped into the power of God. You know, I've been asked hundreds of times since last April, how did you do it? How did you do it? And the answer is this: I discovered I was made for it. You don't realize you can do something until you try it. You don't realize that you can lead 2 million people until you try it. You don't realize that you can get to university until you apply for it. You don't realize that you can start a business until you start putting a plan together. Sometimes you've just got to step out and say, I was born for the stretch. Moses had no divine right to become the hero of 2 million people. I actually don't even think he was God's first choice. He was just the one who was prepared to stretch. Now, I want to put 2 pictures up. I'm going to put my gravestones up just to make it a happy morning. Here we go. All right, so I've got 2 gravestones. These are 2 possible gravestones for me. Now, thankfully, I do not know the end date. Who's glad you don't know the end date? We all know the day we were born. You should all know your name, okay? Now, this is one option for my gravestone. In loving memory of John James Norman, a middle name I gave myself. Okay. Mum didn't give me one, so I chose my own. True story. 2016. You can read all about it online. Okay. 1978, the year I was born. And then there's this little squiggle. Do you know what the squiggle is? A comfortable life. A comfortable life. Que sera, sera. Box set life. Or, this could be my memory. Lived life in the stretch. Under tension. Times it felt like he was going to break. Times he felt like God wasn't going to show up. Times like he thought he couldn't do it. Hey, I wonder what we'll be remembered for. A little limp elastic band. Or will we be known for people who took, hey, we're going to get it wrong sometimes. I want to live full and I want to die empty. I want to stretch every last ounce of vision and energy and resource out of my life. And I pray that you do too. I hope that when my name is mentioned in years to come, feet people will feel uncomfortable, because when they got around John, he put them under the stretch. He challenged me to think bigger. When I was 10 years old, I watched my dad join my sister watched our dad head off to communist Poland to smuggle Bibles over the border. And I got a taste of what it was to be around a dad who lived in the stretch. And dad came home from that mission. After 2 or 3 weeks, he came home of telling stories about the day that they didn't have any petrol in the van. But if they stopped and they got stopped by the communists, that they would be put into prison. So they decided just to keep driving and to keep driving. And they kept driving with no petrol. And I'm sitting there as a son going, wow, wow, living in the stretch. Living, oh, I don't want to leave the house. God's saying, get out in the stretch. Move in the stretch. You know what happened as soon as I turned 16? I went on a mission trip to Poland with Graham Hollinger, 16 years old. My mum and dad sent me to Poland, 16, to help plant a church for 3 weeks. Got in trouble because I was throwing water balloons at people from outside where we were staying, but I was still in the stretch. Parents, make sure your kids are watching you in the stretch. Make sure it's not this. Because this is what happened when I was a young man. I saw my dad stretching, and guess what I want to do? I want to stretch. When it comes to Heart for the House, we're not just tipping God. We're giving him something that's going to cost us something. And there's a stretch involved. Parents, remember, kids catch what they watch, not what you say. This is important you grasp this. Children, our kids are watching us in this season. How we are responding to this crisis in front of our children is teaching them fear or faith. This is an opportunity for us as grandparents and parents to teach faith to our children. Because this is the reason we were born. I met with our accountant last year and he said, are you sure you want to give 10% of your income to the church and Heart for the House? I was like, absolutely. Why? Because I want to live in the stretch. I want my finances to be under the tension of heaven. People, to the natural eye, it doesn't make any sense, Heart for the House. It doesn't make any sense. People have challenged me, said, are you sure you want to do that in this season? I'm like, yes, because I want to continually live in the stretch. Half the house is a season when we're stretched. We go through tension and pressure and discomfort like Moses. We're part of a stretching church. You know, this new building, I don't know about you, but it just excites me. It's going to stretch us. It's been 4 years now. 4 years. Been running with this. We've still only got half the resources we need to build it. But it's amazing, because look what we have got. We've got the land paid off. We've got the new land next door. We've got the planning permission. God has put us through the stretch, but there's miracles in the stretch. And I'm holding on to a word from a pastor in Australia called Pastor Tom Backley. We announced this to the church 3 years ago. He sent me a text. He said, the word I have is paid in full. Paid in full. I've got to hold on to the promises of God, even when it makes no sense. You hold on. Your greatest joy, your greatest fulfillment in life is in the stretch, not in the limp. That's where you find fulfillment. I want you to say this out loud. I was born for the stretch. That wasn't out loud. Go on, I want you to say it. I was born for the stretch. For the stretch. Number two, I can handle stretch marks. Some of you ladies, you know what I'm talking about here. Some of you men do too. Anyway, we won't get into that. When you stretch and attempt things in life, there will always be challenges. If I'm honest, I have still got aches, pains, and niggles from 18 months ago. Because when you attempt something like 7 in 7, when you attempt something, there are challenges. And Moses found out that in the stretch, there are 3 stretch marks. These are 3 stretch marks when you step out for God. I'm going to give you them. Are you ready? When you stretch in any area, whether it's in business, whether it's in your finances, when you step out in faith, number one is this: you will experience criticism. Moses' own siblings, Aaron and Miriam, it says they began to talk against Moses. When you step out, someone's opinion will always step in. Can you believe Soul Church is reopened? Putting people's lives at risk. I got called a super spreader. I've been called all sorts of things this week. But here's the thing, you're going to get criticism when you step out of the boat, because the enemy wants you to live like this. Comfort, stuck. God says, no, I want to place you under some tension so you understand my power. I'll tell you what, we are super spreaders. We're spreading hope. We're spreading love. We're spreading so much that the world needs right now. And when you step out of your comfort zone, when you attempt something, you will attract critics. I'd rather be stretching and winning souls and feeding the poor and baptizing people in the North Sea than not attempting anything at home. I want this season to be known. Soul Church were a little bit crazy. They attempted some things. They got it wrong sometimes. But let me tell you, there was fruit in this season. There was miracles in this season. There was souls in this season. Second thing you experience when you stretch is you'll experience discouragement. Verse 22 says, the Lord returns and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on your people? Moses gets discouraged. I think I would, surrounded by 2 million people. When you ever step out for God or in business and you don't see results immediately, it's very easy to get discouraged. Why do most businesses fail in the first 12 months? Because people get discouraged. We want instant success, microwave miracles. Has anyone ever given, served, do all the right things and all the wrong things start happening? Just the three of us. I remember training for 7 and 7, and I remember one night was one of the darkest nights of the whole year. I was out and I'd run from Kosi, where we lived at the time, and I was in the city center and I pulled a calf muscle. It was 9 o'clock at night and it started to rain and I didn't have my phone on me and I was on my own. Now you imagine you're training, you've been training, you pull a calf muscle and you've got to walk home. Okay, and I asked someone to borrow their phone. They didn't let me. Don't worry. Bless them, Lord. Critics. However, so easy to do. I remember going home that night thinking, is this worth it? Does this count for anything? Little did I know that just 3 months later, we'd raised nearly £250,000 for the future of our church. Sometimes you're going to get criticized. Sometimes you're going to feel discouraged, but like Moses, you've got to get up again. And the only way to defeat discouragement is to encourage yourself in the Lord. The only way to defeat discouragement is to keep stretching. I will make it. I'm not going to live in defeat. I am strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you see someone stretching right now, they're in the stretch zone. If you see someone, you need to encourage them, by the way. If you see someone else in this season, if you hear about or see people relocating to our church, people taking risks, you encourage them. There's many people right now who are making decisions to relocate to this church from all over this planet, and they're going to be in the stretch. As a church, we've got to embrace them and love them and encourage them. I remember when Chantel, she moved here from Los Angeles. She'll talk to you about her experiences, but one of the things she'll tell you is that Sam Hollinger, Mark and Graham's and Christine's dad, every Sunday used to bring her in, give her a little cuddle. He loved to cuddle with the ladies, okay? And he'd slip her a £20 note. He said, you can make it, because she couldn't work. Do you know what that was? It was encouraging. She was in the stretch. But you need people. When you see people, when these incredible students have moved here from all over the world, we've got to embrace them. We've got to help them. We've got to encourage them in their stretch. Let's be people who say, you can do it. Don't give people 10 reasons why they could fail. Give them a reason they can succeed. Encourage them. When you get criticized, when you feel discouraged, the third stretch mark you're going to experience is this. You'll feel inadequate. Moses said this to the Lord. He said, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and tongue. As a young man, Moses, he felt inadequate to lead people. Anyone else ever feel inadequate at work? Inadequate at school? Inadequate in life? I want to talk to all our incredible young people, young adults. Never turn down an opportunity in life because you feel inadequate or underqualified. Keep stretching. You don't know what's in you until you attempt it. You do not know what's in you until you put some tension on your life. I'm writing a book at the moment. It's been going nearly 2 years. I'm struggling. Do you know why I'm struggling? Because I keep telling myself the same thing. You're inadequate. I've got 2 D's in GCSE English and Lit. Probably a lot more people qualified to put pen to paper than me, but I felt God 2 weeks ago tell me to pick it up again. Tell me I'm qualified. God qualifies the unqualified. And sometimes you've got to get back in the stretch. God loves using people who feel inadequate. If you feel inadequate, you qualify. God uses broken, uneducated, messed up people to do big things. I encourage you to go for jobs outside of your pay grade. Go for your positions beyond your experience. Go for partners outside of your weight. Chantel did. Just kidding. Come on, let's say this out loud. I can handle stretch marks. Number three, I will experience the miraculous. I will experience the miraculous. I was born for it. I can handle stretch marks and I will experience the miraculous. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Bible emphasizes the key to the miracle. Now, come with me in these final 5 minutes. The key to the miracle was in the stretch. I want you to stretch out your hand right now. Stretch out your hand. I want you to stretch. You're stretching out right now over whatever you wrote on that prayer card earlier. I want you to stretch out your hand right now, just as Moses stretched out his hand. Stretch out your hand. We're going to believe right now that miraculous, right, whether you're watching online right now, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. An impossibility became a possibility, the Bible says, when Moses stretched out his hands. Miracles are not waiting in the comfort zone, but in the stretch zone. When Moses stretched out over the sea, he was stretching out over the problem. What's your problem right now? In Jesus' name, I pray as we stretch out our hands. Come on, stretch it out over that child away from God. Stretch it out over that bank balance. Stretch it out of the business. Stretch out right now. Stretch out right now. Stretching faith, rubber band faith. Come on, stretch it out right now. Stretch it out right now. Our worship stretches out over our worry. Our faith stretches out over our fear. When we confess the promises of God, we're confessing them over our problems. This is why worship is so important. This is why I'm so desperate to get you back in the room. Because when you lift your hands, what you're doing is you're stretching out. You're stretching out over the situation. Every miracle in the Bible first started out as a problem. Stretch out. We need to confess right now that we're going to experience the miraculous in this Heart for House season. I'm believing for a windfall of miracles. What's impossible with man is possible for God. I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works, Soul Church. Every person who has ever experienced the miraculous of heaven has felt the stretch. Some of you this week need to stretch out your prayers a bit further. Stretch your faith. Stretch your words. Confess the goodness of God. When you say it out loud, I will experience the miraculous. Come on, say it one more time. I will experience the miraculous. Number four, here we go. I am determined to never stop stretching. I am determined to never stop stretching. Do you know what the enemy wants in this season? He wants to get us so comfortable and so complacent. He wants armchair Christians. He wants us just to sit at home and just press a button and the world sorts itself out. And God is saying, no, I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to begin to stretch your faith again. I need some elastic faith again. I am determined. This is the last thing written about Moses. The last thing. His final moments of his life. This is what was said. Deuteronomy 31. It said, then Moses climbed Mount Nebo. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Now this is what should have been written of Moses. Are you ready? This is what should have been written. Then Moses was curled up in front of the fire, in his slippers, drinking Horlicks, eating chocolate hobnobs in his mask, 2 meters away from his wife. You know, that's exactly how the enemy wants you to leave this earth. Limp. He's trying to limp the world right now. But Moses, what did he do at 120? He climbed a mountain. Oh, hello. I'm 42 and a mountain's challenging. Says that Moses climbed a mountain because he was not prepared just to settle and sit back. He said, I'm going to stretch even till the end. He wanted one last challenge. You're never too old to stretch, church. You're never too old to attempt something for God. You're never too old for God to use. COVID is wretched in so many ways, but one of the ways is its victims are mainly the elderly, Moses' generation. And if it can't kill you, it wants to kill your confidence. It wants to frighten you, scare you away from the church. Chantel and I want you to know today, if you are 70 plus in this church, you still have a purpose. You still have mountains in front of you, not behind you. There is still a stretch waiting for you in your life. Do not sit back. I want you to stand up under the shield of faith and confess that God is your healer. God is your protector. Do not allow COVID to steal your best years. Your greatest days are ahead of you, not behind you. The good old days haven't happened yet for your life. You just got to stretch out. You got to trust God. Do not live in the limp of life. Come on. Your stretch is your story. Your stretch is your legacy. Your stretch is how you'll be remembered. I think of our dear brother David Hussey. He never missed a service. He never missed a beat. He never missed a joke. He was mischievous. Up until his final Sunday in church, which was the final day we had to close our doors, he was still found in the house of God. For God's purpose is to expand. God's people have to be stretched. God wants us to live in the maximum, not the minimum. Half the house is a time for us to be stretched and to go, God, I've got to be fully reliant on you now. It's over to you. God, I'm sacrificing. Half the house is always the happiest Sunday of church because we stretched. I love watching people give. Do you know why? Because they suddenly go from this to God, I need you. God, I need you. Give God this season. Give God this season. Don't live like this. As for me and my house, we will serve. We will stretch. We will give. We will let go. I was born for the stretch. I can handle stretch marks. I will experience the miraculous. And I am determined never to stop stretching. If you believe it, would you stand to your feet? Come on, would you put your hands together? Would you begin to declare? Come on, we can make some noise with our hands. Whatever you want to do, come on, just declare. You're up for the stretch. You're up for it. You're up for it. You're up for it. He's never failed you. Your promises. I want us to take our elastic bands this week, and I want you to wear them. You're going to have to double them up around your wrist. But every time you feel the pull towards comfort, I want you to give yourself a little ping on the wrist. I'm not called to live in comfort. I'm called to live in the stretch. It's pressure and it's tension, but that's where the miracles happen. That's what unleashes the miraculous of God in my life. And let me say, there is no one too young or too old in this building to experience the stretch. Young people, you stretch out during half the house. Let go and let God into your situation. Come on, let's just hold our bands right now. If you're up for this, if you're up for the stretch, if you're up for a few stretch marks, I can't promise you this will be a bed of roses because it won't. There'll be some disappointments, some discouraging moments, some criticism. Father, right now, we see from the life of Moses the power of living in the stretch. And I pray for every person as they prepare their hearts to give and let go and be stretched. Father, I pray that we would see the miraculous. Father, we would not settle. We would not pull back. we would not live a life of comfort and ease, Father. We have a city to reach, a world to reach, Father, an online community to love and to care for. So I pray that we would live life. Father, now is the time. We were not born for timidity. We were born, Father, to live in the stretch, Father. We thank you that God is for us. And because God is for us, who can be against us? Come on, let's declare it out one more time. Amen.
What an incredible message from our senior pastor. So come on, in your room, wherever you are, and in this room, let's put our hands together. Show some appreciation on the chat. That was brilliantly put together, incredibly well delivered. That was inspiring. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to stretch again. But you know what? That stretch starts in that moment when you hear a voice. For Moses, he was in the desert on the run, wanted for murder. From a bush, or through a TV, or through some earphones, he hears a voice, and God calls him. And friend, whether you're in this room or whether you're in a kitchen or a bedroom, wherever you are, do you hear that voice? God saying, hey, I want to use you. I want to come into your life. And all that Moses did was he said this. He said, here I am. Friend, to become a Christian is to simply say, here I am. I don't understand everything. I haven't been that good in my life, but I'm willing to say, here I am. Would you come in? Would you use me? Online or in this building, I would love to give you that invitation to say to God, here I am. We pray this prayer every week. It's the most important prayer that we pray. It's the prayer to invite Jesus, to invite God into the center of your life. So we'd love to pray for you right where you are, driving in the car, running along the road, or here in this room. Maybe you've done this online, but you've never done it in the building. What a great way to just cement that decision here in this building. But wherever you are, would you put your hand on your chest? And just in your own heart, you repeat this to yourself after me. Dear Jesus, I want to thank you for all that you did for me. You died on a cross so I can be forgiven, so I can have a new start. Today I hear your voice and I say, here am I. Come in. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Now I want to live for you from this moment on with your help and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, that is the greatest decision you will ever make. Let us know on the chat. Send us an email. There'll be details come up on the screen. But here in the building, as you leave, we're going to go out in that direction in a few moments. And a couple of our team will be there. They've got Bibles. They can't wait to give this Bible to you. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's going to help you take the next step. And the next step, you've started this journey. We want to help you make sure you finish it. And this book is the greatest book you can ever read.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.